So, why has a distinctively tall man who has perhaps the most recognizable face in the world been so difficult for the combined resources of the CIA, U.S. Special Forces, MI5, Pakistani Special Forces, and, for that matter, CNN to find? A man known as Jack Idima now joins us from New York. He's better known simply as Jack. He is the U.S. intelligence operative and former Green Beret who captured the videotapes of Osama bin Laden and al-Qaeda training camps in Afghanistan, training operations specifically designed for American targets. Jack Idima's methods and activities are examined in a new book by another former Green Beret, Robin Moore, called The Hunt for Bin Laden. Mr. Jack has also been featured on 60 Minutes and joins us from New York. Thanks very much for being with us.
Morning, Scott.
And help us understand the challenge of finding one man in this vast haystack, if you please, of those mountains.
Well, first you got to understand that Afghanistan is really a vast and barren region, just filled with mountains. You take a look, there's a picture in the Hunt for Bin Laden that shows the mountains from the air. Mm-hmm. And that shows what incredibly difficult terrain it is and how easy it might be for someone to hide. Now, combine that with the fact that when they left Kabul back in early November 2001 and fled to Jalalabad and Tora Bora, these guys emptied the Taliban treasury. Combine that with the billions of dollars that Osama bin Laden has, mm-hmm. and we're looking at an enemy that's, you know, not your normal carjacker or kidnapper. He's a guy that has a ton of money, and he has the resources to use that money to stay hidden.
In this book that we mentioned, The Hunt for Bin Laden, I guess you and Robin Moore say that British Special Forces were once pretty certain they had Osama bin Laden in their sights in a small valley of Tora Bora, and it was U.S. commanders that called off the raid.
Actually, they didn't call off the raid. What happened was, and it was several times that bin Laden was sighted, and it was the delays in getting approval from the top. It was the delays in trying to get air support faster. You got to remember, November, December, we didn't have much air support. There were a few mm-hmm. planes there, but we didn't have very many troops, and we had less than 200 guys on the ground. It was the difficulty, really, in getting the information to the top and getting back down the assistance and the go mm-hmm. and the go to go ahead.
I got the impression in the book that they were worried that a B-52 might actually be brought down by, let's say, a shoulder launched missile. They didn't want to risk that happening in the mountains.
Well, you know, that kind of, even though that was in the same, I know exactly what you're talking about in that same paragraph, but yeah. They were more concerned with just the general use of B-52s throughout the entire war. Mm-hmm. Yes, they did not want to bring in close air support that we needed, like the A-10s. The close support Warthogs, which were used in Desert Storm so effectively because they were all reserve pilots. So we didn't really have those kind of air assets, and the Special Forces guys that were there didn't have those kind of assets that they needed to really prosecute the war and find some of these guys.
You suggest, Mr. Idima, that the reward of $25 million might not have been a real crackerjack of an idea.
No, as a matter of fact, You gotta look at who you're dropping these leaflets to. You're telling a guy who lives in a village like Debala, who has never seen a phone in his life, doesn't know that TV exists, has a radio that costs maybe 55 cents, many of them provided by the U.S. in a special radio program, and he doesn't have any comprehension of $25 million. It means nothing to him. Even the dollar value means nothing to him. So when you put a bounty on a guy for $25 million, you're not going to affect a lot of people in Afghanistan that may know where he is. We had one real interesting thing. Mm-hmm. The CIA and FBI spent $5,000 for passports they would pay the soldiers of al-Qaeda, captured al-Qaeda guys. And they would also buy many other things from them, documents and so forth. My guys gave them to me for free. I didn't have to pay my guys because... Mm-hmm. I lived with them, I ate with them, I slept with them, I worked with them every day, I was by myself with them. They did this because they wanted to support America, and that's why we need to get people to help us, because they're our allies.
Mr. Idima, just a quick last question. If Osama bin Laden never makes another cell phone or satellite phone call, can he escape forever?
I don't know if he can escape forever, because eventually somebody is going to talk about where he is. But, you know, remember, Osama bin Laden, although he's our primary target, isn't the most important target. We have to dismantle al-Qaeda from the ground up and from the top down.
Okay. Mr. Idima, thanks very much.
Thank you.
U.S. intelligence operative known as Jack has been featured in a new book by Robin Moore, The Hunt for Bin Laden, Task Force Dagger.